can I pray with you as you start? That'd be awesome. Lord, we just thank you so much for Vincent. What a wonderful brother he is in the Lord. I just thank you for his faithfulness to you. And Lord, I just thank you for the word that you've deposited in his heart. And Lord, I do pray for us as we listen today that our hearts would be open to receive what you have, that you've deposited in his heart, that we would truly allow it to sit home in ours. So Lord, you come in a powerful way, Lord, to bring your transformation this afternoon, because you are here. Vincent is here for a reason. And so, Lord, we say, come. Come, Holy Spirit. And I pray for Vincent. May he just enjoy walking and speaking with you right now. And, Lord, may we enjoy it together. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here. I know Tor and Maria a while back ago, and God have called us back together, and it's a pleasure to share God's word with all of you. Some years ago, in the British convention of all the comparative religion, there was a discussion. The discussion was, what is the distinct feature of Christian faith? So people start to think about, is it incarnation? Is it the resurrection? And then someone just strolled in. Most probably you know him. He's C.S. Lewis. Do you know who C.S. Lewis is? He's the one who wrote the Narnia series. And he walked in and said, what's this discussion? He said, we just want to discuss what's the distinctive belief of Christian faith. He said, oh, that's simple. It is grace. And he shared it with the whole group. And after that discussion, everyone agrees. Because Christian faith is the only belief system that God, in his marvelous love, has given us his unconditional love to us. As Christians, we need to know what is our distinctive compared with any other religion or belief system in the world. So today we're going to talk about three things. If you know about those three things, about grace, it's going to change your life. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? Now, when we talk about the gospel or the Bible, we need to look at the word of God. It's not what Vincent said, it's what the Bible said. Today, you're not listening to Vincent, but you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit through the scripture, what's talking to you and to you today. So we're going to read a passage from the Ephesians. Now, many of you know that the gospel is preached through many books, Romans and many books, but I've chosen Ephesians because Ephesians have six chapters. The first three chapters talk about our belief and the gospel put in succinctly. In the second chapter, in the first 10 verses, talk about grace. So it's very short. We're going to read it together. Is that okay? People of faith, can we say amen? Right, going to read it, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. As for you, we're going to read it together. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the grave cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. That's God's word. So what is the first thing we need to know? We need to know, why do we need grace? Why do we need grace in the first place? The first verse said, as for you, you were dead in your transgression. You say, hey, Vincent, I'm good. The whole world is doing good. Look at my mobile phone. Look at my new car. Technology is going up, up, up. And we can solve every problem in this world in the future. Is that right? But if you look into sociology and what we are doing now, depression goes up. Economy going down. If you're a teacher, 20 years ago, you were mad when someone just swear. But nowadays, your life is threatened. In America, they have to have a metal detector so that no one brings gun to kill the teacher. That's how bad it is. Economy and also depression goes up. Are we heading in the right direction? The Bible tells us that in God's eyes, we are really dead. You say, I'm not dead. Vince, I'm alive. Yes, but we have departed from the source of life. Now, a lot of you girls love flowers. Husband usually sends flowers to the wife. But do you know that flowers, if it's cut, the cut flowers, didn't last very long. If it's a rose, most will last for about 2 weeks. It's still glorious for 2 weeks. Then it died. That's how human life is. The Bible tells us, Moses in his psalm said, if you are strong, you live 80 years. If you're not, about 70 years. And we are like a mist, and then we are gone. In God's eye, if we don't attach to the source of life, we are dead in God's eye. We're going to face God's judgment. Now, I'm not sure you remember. Do you know what's the biggest box office movie in the last century? In the 20th century. Oh, sorry, do you know what it is? Yeah, it's already there. It's the Titanic. How many of you have watched the movie Titanic? Oh, that's good. Otherwise, we'll say, oh, Vincent's old. I mean, the biggest box office, the first one is Avatar, and then now it's the End Games, and then another Avatar, and then the Titanic now. So Titanic is the biggest box office. Now, I'm not going to talk about Titanic, but I remember a scene where Jack Dawson, he and Rose, remember the two main character? Jack brought her to the poor people cabin, and then it hit the iceberg, and the boat is going down. And Jack said, we have to climb up, we have to go up, 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 otherwise we'll be all drowned. But the other said, we have to go down to grab our stuff. Then we can go and say, Jack said, don't. You don't have time for it. And then the next scene, boom, all of them died because a wave of sea came and they killed everyone. And Jack and Rose have to keep climbing. Now, that's about our life. We have to keep climbing up to God, because the way to go down is we're going to die miserably. Jesus actually warned us. He said, the road to heaven, to God, is a narrow path and a narrow gate, and we have to fight to go to that path. We all think that if we grab all the good things in life, we'll be satisfied. Can I have the next slide, please? All of us who live among at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires of our thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath. If we try to follow the path of the world and just gratify ourselves, we're in the road of destruction. Do you know who this guy is? Jim Carrey? Jim Carrey? Yeah. Sorry, I give old illustration of old actors. But he says something really in... he's actually a Christian, Jim Carrey. After his suffering, became a Christian. And he says something very insightful. And you say, oh, Vincent, you're in the middle class, you have no problem. I want to chase my dreams. I need money. But Jim Carrey, who is one of the most successful actors, he said, I wish everyone become rich and famous like me. And then they'll know that this is not the answer. Can I say it again? He said, I wish everyone have reached the goals in life. I want to be a doctor. I want to make my first pot of gold. I want to make $1 trillion. And then when you reach there, you know that that is not the answer. That's what exactly St. Augustine said. There is a hole in our soul. There's a vacuum in our heart so big that whatever we stuff in it is not enough. We can have food, we can have sex, we can have authority, power, fame. But because this hole is so big, only an infinite God can fill this hole. So humans are in a desperate position. We are going down. We are depressed. We're going to destruction. We can't fill this hole ourselves. So what can we do? The Bible tells us we need God's grace. So why do we need God's grace? Because we cannot fill this hole. A lot of people, when they are off the sea, they're thirsty, no water. What do? They were tempted to drink the sea water. The more they drink, the more dehydrated they are, and then they'll be delirious, and then they will die. That's what happened to the human race. I want to stuff myself with pornography, with money, with fame. The more they said, it actually fit. I feel a little bit of happiness. But will never satisfy you. And you'll end up meeting with the judgment of God. And you die. So we need grace. The first point is all of us need God's grace. Because we cannot save ourselves. The second point. And then the good news. But because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy. Now, I have put yellow in that word blue. Because that word but is a magical word. Why? Because it changed the direction of your conversation. For example, I'll say to Maria, Maria, you look great, but... And then she'll say, oh, what's happening? But this word can also be a happy word. I'll say, Holly, I'm sorry to tell you, you have a terrible infection. But if you take this medicine, you'll be healed overnight. Isn't it good news? So this word, for the first three verses, we will talk about the desperation of humankind. But now this word changed the whole picture around, and then we have the good news. It says, God, who is rich in mercy, make us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you've been saved. Now, grace, by definition, is a very nice definition there, is grace is the unearned, undeserved, unmerited, and favor of God. We don't deserve it, but God give it to us for free. Now, for all of us Christians, we all see the cross each week, isn't it? Or some of you have the cross on your neck. You see it all the time. But do you know the significance of it? There was this guy that asked a preacher, he said, how can someone 2,000 years ago die on the cross mean anything to me? Have someone asked you that question before? That person answered, the preacher answered. A lot of times we know Jesus as a baby in a manger. We know Jesus, who is a good man. But do you know that in John 1, that word became flesh? Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. The word became flesh. He created all of us. And only because of him, we live today. It will be of infinite significance if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator of heaven and earth, who is infinite, come and die for you. That's why it matters. He's not just any man. He's God himself. That's why it's so significant. Then there's a follow-up question. Say, if he's good, if he's God, it's not significant for him to die. No, it makes all the difference. Let me give you an illustration. If you love your pet ants, you have an ants that you have, and you feed it, and there's some danger, you want to tell them you love the ants, but you can't talk ants language, can you? Some of you may. If you're ant man amongst you, may. But I can't. I'm Spider-Man. No, just kidding. I'm not Ant-Man. So what he think of is, I'm going to transform myself into an ant and become an ant and tell them. What's significant is that person actually allows the ant to reject him, torture him, put him on the cross, and died so that they can be raised again with him. And what this shows, because that person can change back to a human being and crush them at any moment. But he didn't. But he loved the ants, or God loved us so much, he allowed all the shame, rejection, and even murder on himself. And that's significant. The Bible, that's why we say amazing grace, because of God's love for us. We were by right not children of God, but children of wrath. We deserve God's judgment, but God turns around and say, I love you. The Bible tells us we don't know what love is, but love is demonstrated when Christ died, when we were yet sinners. We're enemies of God, but God died for us and make a huge difference. And that's not it. We have more. So let's look at the next slide. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So we don't need Elon Musk. We don't need SpaceX to go to the heavenly realms. We were raised with Christ because of God's, what Jesus has done for us. After the Depression in America, there was a really rich man. He's a billionaire. At that time, the standard of a billionaire is like trillionaire nowadays. But he went broke in Depression. And he had lost everything, all the money. And he's begging for food. And he said, please give me some money so I can buy a McDonald's Happy Meal. Nobody said, no, we're not giving you money. And one day, he was die of salvation. And then they look up his record and find that with that rich man, he had tucked away $1 million in the bank. He didn't even remember. He could afford that Happy Meal after all. He could have used those money and pay for a sumptuous meal. And that's the problem of most Christians today. We think that when Jesus have died for our sins, our net worth from negative $1 million to zero. So I'm break even now. But that's not the gospel. That's not about grace. The grace is we become trillionaires in the kingdom of God. Our net worth is not zero. All the blessing and all the gift of God has been given unto us, bestowed unto us. It said, what marvelous love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. Not that dying on the cross is important, but now we are joint heirs of Jesus. Isn't it great? We are abundant in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And this is the grace of God. We need to know, Christians, that we are not just break even. We are rich people in God's eye, and we can conquer the world with Jesus. Our mission here is to not to just survive. We come here is to live a victorious Christian life and transform the agent of redemption to bring people back to Him. That's our task. So first is, why do we need grace? Because we are heading to destruction. We can't help ourselves. We need God's grace. What is God's grace? It's God loved so much that He died for us and has risen us up to the heavenly realms so that we can be trillionaires in our spiritual life. The third thing we need to know is work and grace. Now, the Bible in the next part tells us very importantly the other religion and ourselves. Because most religion, and even when you're Christians, you will think this way, I have to work my way, I have to be good enough so I become a Christian. Or I have to do great things that God can love me. But the Bible said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. This is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. As Christians, we are called to do good works. But it's not the cause, it's the effect. If you look at this picture here, we need to understand the cause and effect. The cause of salvation is not our good work. The cause of salvation is God's grace. Through faith, when we repent of our sins, then the effect is we are saved in Christ. Not that we have to do good work so that we have salvation. We need to be very, very clear. As this picture says, salvation always produces work because it's a cause effect. If you are saved, you automatically do good work. The Bible tells very clearly, works, faith without works is dead. And people say, oh, I believe up here. You believe up there. And what's this James said? He said, big deal. Satan believed that as well. We need to do good work. And it is an effect, not a cause. Now let's look at the next verse. The next verse said, you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's exactly what it's saying. But we need to know that to do good work, it's not a walk in the park. You say, oh, you great pastors, you're a great man, you don't have any problems. Do you know this verse here in 2 Corinthians is by Paul? He was a great man of God. He changed the whole world upside down. But he has a problem. He has a thorn on his flesh. The Bible didn't tell us what that thorn is. It can be persecution. It can be his weak eyes. It can be anything. He didn't tell. But he tell us when he begged God 3 times to remove the thorn, God didn't take that and say, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, grace is a merited favor that's given to us. It is a character of God. But grace also extended is the power that's given to us, as it said. It is, grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So it's the power of God that gives us grace that we can live out our Christian life. Someone asked, he said, can I be a Christian and steal things, continue to sin in my life? Then I asked that person a question. Hey, Toh, I'm a good friend of yours. But after 20 years or so, throughout the whole time, I steal from him every day, every time I meet him. I abuse him. I beat him up every time I see him. Do you think I'm his friend? I don't think so. The Bible tells very clearly, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. If you continue to sin and abuse God, he's just joking around with God. You're deceiving him, manipulating him, and deceiving yourself. The Bible tells us that between grace and salvation, we need to live by faith. It's God's grace through faith, and you have this. So we need to live by faith each day. It's the saving faith, but also each day we live by faith. And with that, God's grace come into our life, and we have the power of God in our life. Ephesians 1:19 is a beautiful verse. He said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's within you and me today. Do you believe that? The same power, not second class, not a discounted rate at night kind of class. It's the same power that's in you. So if you say, oh, I can't do that. Yes, of course you can't do it. But the grace of God can help you to do that. Now, I've got many testimony about God's grace in my life to go through very difficult time. My wife passed away almost 3 years ago. And we have church split. We have many things I've gone through in my life. But by God's grace, I can stand up and continue to serve him with all my might. Because of God's grace in my life. And I accept it by faith. For me, it's impossible. I've got some friends here a few years ago. When they know me, I can't speak a word of Mandarin. Now I can speak fluently. Why? Because I accepted by faith. I tried and God used me to speak in different languages in different churches for his glory. So today we learn about three things. First thing is we need God's grace. Why do we need grace? Because we are desperate. Second is what's God's grace? Is Jesus died for us, but also he has raised us up so that we are have the power. Oh, in fact, I have to mention it with charis here. Grace in Greek is charis, so grace. But charismatic also comes from this word. So God's give us all the gift in this place. We have the charisma of God in us. We have the power of God so that we can do the work of him on the earth. So what is God's grace? We'll talk about that. And the third thing is, it's not about doing good work so that we can earn God's grace. It's because of God's grace in us, we can do good work every day. The word handyman is masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And God can work through you to bring glory to his name. So my question is to you is, what area or areas in your life do you need God's grace? I'm sure that we can pray for each other later on. I'll finish with a story. In 1966, there was a great fire in London. And everything, almost everything is burned down. And they commissioned Sir Christopher Wren to actually build. One of them is St. Paul's Cathedral. He went in as a supervisor to the site and he saw three handymen. He asked them, what are you doing? The first person said, I'm just earning a living. He said, okay. So he asked the second one. The second person said, I'm just building a wall. At least he knows what he's doing. And the third person said to him, I was given so much grace that I can work for the king, for the great architect of Christopher Wren, to build the cathedral for the kingdom of God. God's grace in us. Today we need that. Some of you may come to church and say, what are you doing here? I just attend the church. Or I need to serve in worship today. Or are you coming to build the kingdom of God because God's grace is in us today? Let us pray. Father, we thank you because your grace is sufficient for us even though when we are in trouble, when we are heading to destruction. But Lord, I just pray that, Lord, your grace and your Holy Spirit speak to our inner person today. Let us know the tremendous grace and mercy you have in our life so that we can live a life as your handiwork, your workmanship, your masterpiece in this world. Help us to love you, your people, and your church and your kingdom today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Can the worship team come up again? And as we worship,